Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment business. This week, we have a twofer. We have Jimmy Dillon and Lauren Rowan from the very interesting band, the San Francisco Music Club. Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon, Jimmy. Simon. How are you?
I'm doing just... It's great to talk to both of you. Jimmy, let me pick on you first, just because I can. I was doing a little poking around. Well, that's my job. And as best I can tell, I think it says you were born in Michigan and you're 25 years old. Okay, I'm telling lies, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, it's true, I am 25, and I have, in fact, been 25 for over 25 years. So I guess my nickname then would be Dorian Gray. But in truth, I was born in Los Angeles, and I grew up in L.A. My dad was in the movie business, and I did spend some time in Michigan and was really influenced by a lot of the Chicago music that came over the lake. So I spent my formative years in Michigan, and then I moved out to San Francisco when I was 17 and have been here ever since. And so most of my musical experiences have happened around the San Francisco Bay Area, although I've done a fair amount of touring in Europe and around the world, people like Clarence Clemens and various other entities along the way. But I'm a guitarist and a singer and a writer and a playwright, and I'm also an educator. I do a fair amount of teaching. So my musical palette is kind of wide right now, and I'm really enjoying all the various things. The most exciting to me right now is the San Francisco Music Club, and we'll be telling you more about that. But that's been sort of a culmination of all my music experiences up till now, and then collaborating with Lauren and creating this really fun CD that we've come up with.
And let me ask you a question, and it's a question I ask many musicians. Are you self-taught, or did you go to school?
Well, most of my learning was done what we call by ear. I'm a jungle musician, so I learned by watching and listening. I was fortunate enough to have grown up in sort of the golden era, late 60s, and I saw Jimi Hendrix live, and so I was inspired by some of the greats, Eric Clapton and Hendrix and Cream and all that, and Bob Dylan, of course, too. So really, my training has not been formal per se, but I've learned, by playing with really great other musicians and being inspired by that, and that's really been my education musically. Yeah.
Lauren, is there any truth? Oh, I should point out it's your turn in the dishwasher here. Is there any truth in the rumor that you have a closet full of tie-dyed T-shirts? Okay, I'm joking, but I do know that you had some dealings with the Grateful Dead and the late Jerry Garcia. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up outside of Boston in a town called Wayland, Massachusetts, with my two brothers, Chris and Peter. Peter played with a guy named David Grisman, and they played bluegrass, but then they expanded into this art rock, earth opera in the late 60s there. And when that band disbanded, Dave Grisman was looking to be an independent producer, and he started looking for people to produce. He found my brother Chris, and then he found me, and now I found him. Wanted to submit stuff to him. Long story short, there is he suggested me and Chris get together as a duo, a brother act, and come out to California or to England. And we decided, well, David had done some playing on American Beauty with the Dead, and after he came back from that trip, he said, "I've got a great friend in California, Jerry Garcia," and we didn't know about the Grateful Dead. I mean, I wasn't a fan, but they were, this is the late 60s, so they were still pretty much an underground. They weren't like the Jefferson Airplane commercial success. So my head was more geared towards Beatles and Rolling Stones and the band and that kind of recording. And the opportunity came to go to Marin County, so we moved to Marin County to seek our fortune and fame in the Golden West. And we did meet up with Jerry Garcia, and it was one of the most fantastic meetings of somebody so talented and charismatic without... He would be the last one to ever say, you know, he was trying to be a charismatic rock star or anything. He was just the most incredibly inspiring guy to be around. He just, he picked up on what you were doing, especially we were young teenagers, 19, my brother and I, and we ended up getting to play with Jerry and the Grateful Dead backing us at the closing of the Fillmore West in 1971 or something, Bill Graham's Club, the Fillmore West. And then Jerry was playing steel guitar with us. So we got to sit there with him and get to hear him play. I know he was mainly known for being the guitarist in the Dead, but he is a fabulous musician all around, and his take on playing the steel guitar was very unique and eclectic as a way of, he wasn't your typical country steel guitar player. He would incorporate, I guess, the kind of jazz things he knew on guitar and rock stuff and applied that through the steel guitar. It was just fascinating to play with him and have him play with us. So we did a few gigs with them, and it was just a thrill. It was a thrill.
Okay, I'd like to point something out here. I can obviously not claim that you're 25 years old. If you were playing with him in 1970, that kind of dates you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, as Jimmy said, we haven't really changed too much, except we've learned a lot and wisdom since we were in our 25s. I think as most people in their 20s, that's when you really catch on fire with your talent, or younger, but you start to really groove into it in your 20s and 30s and 40s, so and beyond. So that's kind of what's keeping us going, which is fantastic. It's the music is keeping us young, and we still as energetic about it, if not more now than we ever did. We've been playing together, Jimmy and I, now over 25 years.
Jimmy, when and how did the San Francisco Music Club come about?
Well, Lauren, as Lauren mentioned, we met in Stinson Beach back in the early 80s, and we had a band called The Edge, which was a ska band, reggae rock ska band in the 80s in San Francisco. And then, as often happens, we both kind of went our ways and pursued our individual careers. And then more recently, I wrote a musical called Ascension of the Blues, which is, in fact, a theatrical piece. And in it, I used a lot of different singers and a lot of different performers. It was kind of a movable feast, if you will. And also, I traveled all over the planet in terms of the styles of music. Lauren and I had also had that same conversation, even though we had our share of some reggae and some ska, Jamaican influence. He and I have both picked up along the way a world music, a taste for world music. And so about a year ago, we said, hey, let's get back together and do some writing and expand our palette, you know, from where we were with The Edge, kind of make it The Edge 2.0, if you will, and not even limit ourselves to who we could have as cameos coming in to the band. So thus, the San Francisco Music Club, partly inspired by the Buena Vista Social Club, if you remember that. And incidentally, one of our songs was recorded in Cuba. So I think the whole idea of spinning the globe and kind of, even though I think we're Americana and roots music, we definitely honor the whole world beat thing, you know, and bring the world beat to Main Street, hopefully. You know, and that was sort of part of the inspiration of how we came to be.
And I think that's a very good introduction to the new CD. Would you have any objection if I was to play a track? Let's pick on Love Can Be.
Fabulous. Great.
guarantee love can be. Love can be that way. I wanna live on the bright side, where the winds of trouble won't blow me down. I'm gonna stay on the right side, where the love that we lost can finally be found. Somewhere deep in my heart, there's still a place for you and I.
Computers these days, but I'm pretty certain that there's more to the San Francisco Music Club than the pair of you. So fess it up. Who else is in the band?
Well, the good thing is it is all real musicians playing that. And this is Lauren talking for a sec. Good point. A lot of stuff is sampled out, and, you know, we really don't do much of that. You know, here or there we might add a couple of drum loop things, but on the record, but not a lot at all. It's mostly the integrity of the band. It's based around the rhythm section. Eric McCann, who played with Clarence Clemons, and the Freaky Executives out of California. Matt Willis on drums. The Drifters, Searchers, played with different people like that. And our partner Ozzy Ahlers on keyboards, who plays with us on keyboards, organ mostly on the record that you hear. Jimmy and I, and Ozzy and me and Jimmy wrote that song together. That's the nucleus of the band, besides a couple of horn players, Michael Pelliquin on sax and Jeff Lewis on trumpet. And we also have a girl singer, Sakai, who sings with Stevie Wonder, or has sung with Stevie Wonder and Train. She's a fabulous vocalist. So Jimmy and I and Sakai are the three-part vocals you hear. And what else, Jim?
Well, you know, it's true that we also have some rotating members. You know, it's interesting because the whole concept of a San Francisco Music Club, and we're just realizing it now as we're playing more and more gigs, is that we invite special people to come in and sing or play. So we've got Dazon Claiborne on drums on a couple tracks, Jimmy Sanchez, who's a great New Orleans-style drummer, and we've got, as we'll tell you more about in our upcoming gigs, Jose Neto from Steve Winwood and Eric Clapton's band on guitar, and then a special guest called Norman Greenbaum, remember Spirit in the Sky?
Digging deep. No way.
So the club lets everybody in. We can take the fun of it. We can have different people. You're in the club.
Yeah.
So you're
in the club now, Simon. Whether you like it or not, dude.
And I have to admit that I really, really like that track. I think it's well thought out. It's well executed. It's just a genuinely beautiful tune.
Thank you so much. You know, that is the song that it's a three-way, right, with me and Jimmy and Ozzy. And that was something we did. We pulled from the old Edge days. So everything
old reimagined
is new, really. Everything old is new. You know, we definitely put a new pair of tie-dye shirts on it and pants and sandals. And we even took some Armani, probably.
Armani. I like that.
Armani.
And incidentally, you may have noticed, but there is a reprise version of that song hiding at the back of the album. Did you happen to notice?
I didn't. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, now you have something to search for. There's a bonus track right at the end, and it's called Love Can Be, but it's a totally different version. It's a ballad with a Celtic harp, so something to look forward to.
It's an acoustic version. Jimmy and I, as we were doing the upbeat version, taking it to new heights, as you heard, we thought, you know, we do a lot of gigs. We do an acoustic trio, unplugged, San Francisco Music Club with Jimmy and I and Sakai, the girl singer, and that's for smaller venues. So at this point, like house concerts or smaller concert things, and it's
the Frisky Buskers.
Yeah, it's good down, baby. It's good down, and Love Can Be has just it's even more haunting as a ballad. So we thought it was cool to put both on there, kind of a treat.
I'm gonna have to track it down, but
track
of course.
Well.
I don't have the real CD, but I'll talk about that later.
What do you have? The one made out of cardboard, or what? Which one do you have?
The EP, I think.
Well, Love Can Be's not on the EP, so you'd have to have the real one.
So, who does most of the writing, or is it truly a collaborative effort?
Well, it goes both ways. Lauren talking here. I mean, both Jimmy and I are prolific in our own songwriting, but we have an uncanny chemistry, and we've had this over the years. We play guitar incredibly well together. While we were making this record, we'd often hand the guitar to the other guy and say, "Oh, why don't you play that idea?" I mean, that's really a lot of fun between me and Jimmy, is that we can interchange our guitar playing parts. We think very much alike in terms of arrangement ideas and maybe adding mandolin or a 12-string guitar or a guitarone.
Or slide.
Slide guitar. I mean, we just love all the styles. New Orleans, Jamaican roots, reggae, rock, R&B, soul. We're, you know, it's Americana, 21st century Americana.
Oh, and I love it. And I've always been a firm believer that a band is rather like being in a marriage. You know, I look at my own marriage. I make all the big decisions, you know, things like should we still be in Afghanistan? And my wife makes all of the small decisions like how much allowance I can have and if I can go out and have fun.
Jimmy and I have
is that like a pub allowance?
Jimmy and I have an open marriage. We get to go out with other musicians, but that's what the
club is. Yeah, we have an open marriage.
It's very healthy. We figured, you know, you can go out with a. It's hetero, it's metero. I don't know, it's all of them, right?
Absolutely.
The club is not just men; it's women and men. Children. It's probably children too. It's a point of musical reference that can include anybody, really. And that's what we love the thought of being able to. Oh, some we pull into town and somebody that we know we can call and go, would you want to come play tonight? And who knows who we could have? We can always have different guest artists appear, and it kind of makes the club thing be a special treat. Like with Norman Greenbaum, I mean, we back him up.
I can tell you a top secret piece of information, but you can't tell anybody, okay?
Okay, I promise I won't.
All right, do not mention this on the radio or anything. But our next San Francisco Music Club member is going to be the church lady, Dana Carvey.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay, but do not tell anybody about that. It's a top secret.
I promise I won't. And in fact, so that I
oh, so we're not on the radio now, are we?
Oh, wing a little bit.
I thought this was television. You guys are so good to me.
I'm in trouble now.
That's my screensaver. Whoops.
All right. I think I want to play another song from your upcoming CD. And I will tell you my story about it afterwards. And then you two are on the roasting pan for your version. This is perfection.
Directions.
Do the radio show.
opposites attract to make connection. But it's all so clear. A little ray around the edges keeps me on my toes. Well, okay, alright. Anything is possible, you never know. It's unpredictable. Maybe a little out of touch, touch out of time. Two steps ahead, one step behind. Find myself walking down that terrifying line. Uncertainty and perfection.
Interviews and the subject of tracks to premiere on air came up, and I just had to have Perfection in the mix. I love this track. To me, it's Jimmy Buffett meets Paul Simon with something else put in the mix. You've got Jimmy's style of music. You've got Paul Simon's vocal delivery style, and indeed, you know, just vocals in general. Tell me a little bit about this song.
Well, this is Lauren talking. It was definitely, as I said, Jimmy and I explored a lot of the roots of Jamaican music and ska. And from that, we definitely gleaned anybody that comes out with stuff like that. We used to listen to the English Beat, we thought was a great band. Where they mixed up, we liked the Police, but we thought the English Beat was a little more underground. And with their, they weren't quite as commercially successful, but they had a really cool band sound. And then, of course, yes, you have Paul Simon, we have Graceland. All of a sudden, you're hearing the high life music, which we as musicians, you could find that music, French high life, African.
Sunny a Day.
Yeah, we were hearing stuff like that, and Paul Simon, the fabulous songwriter, being able to mix the commercial pop, or, you know, pop songs, not because it's commercial, but he made it commercial without trying to make it commercial. You know what I mean? He took an art form, a roots art form, and added his own lyrical style as a lyricist and a writer, which always inspires me, too, to hear that kind of cross-pollinization. And that song, yeah, Jimmy Buffett, I mean, I'm not a huge Jimmy. I'm more of a fan of Jimmy Buffett now when I think about how he's taken what he's done, and I admire that. And I know Jimmy does, you know, that's a fabulous, you know, you got a feeling in a song that takes you to a place. And perfection is a place you're trying to get to in the writer is trying to get the person singing that song is trying to get to that place, which is your high point of your life, your dream, or whatever that may be. And along the way, it's, a lot of times it's the perfect moment you get to, and then there's just not happening. And it's a mighty fine line where you kind of tread throughout the journey, you know, in life. And that's kind of what the writer's saying in that song, meaning.
Oh, all right. I'll put the question in a slightly different way. When you look at all of the songs on this soon-to-be-available CD, where does Perfection stack in your list of favorites?
Well, it's a long-time song. It's been around for a while, 15, 20 years, really. And it's something Jimmy and I, actually, it was one of the songs that inspired us to use as a model for the San Francisco Music Club of, as writing more songs. We were thinking about, let's expand on that style, because that was something that's favorite for both of us. We thought it had a mix of the styles we love, and so that was always a point of reference for us. And I think that's right, Jim, right? As we were talking about.
Also, we noticed it's very danceable live. Like people
danceable, yes.
You know, really, really get up and dance to that. It's very joyful. Yep.
And that's kind of what we love about the San Francisco Music Club. It's upbeat, and it's love and freedom. That's what we ended up writing, that as another extension of what that rhythm makes you feel like.
It's almost a Brazilian style, almost a samba reggae kind of thing.
Oh, it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song. I mean, if I was promoting the album, that's the one I'd push. But maybe it's because I just really love you know what you've done. I you know you've done amazing things with the other tracks, but this is the one that leaps out and grabs me around the neck.
Well, we better get that in a quote if we could, please.
What about it really grabs you? You know, I'm interested, because what really, is it just the overall feeling or the sonic part or what is it? Is it the groove?
It doesn't have, you know, one particular element. It's all of the elements working together. The meter of the song, the actual vocals, the choice of instruments. Yeah, it just works. I mean,
you know, some of the stuff that you're hearing on that version is actually fresh and new. The nylon string guitar that almost sounds Gypsy King in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That was a new thought. That wasn't something that we had before. It came out new this time. And that little chorus at the end, something good is going to come my way. That was something that's been developing over time. So the song has grown and changed shapes. And that middle part that's minor, I think is very compelling. And then it breaks back into a major key, which I think is indicative of a lot of the stuff we do. But it's kind of a catch release kind of thing, I think.
Well, I think what you have to bear in mind is that the average person doesn't know about major keys, minor keys. They know about door keys and car keys. All right. They listen to something and they go, "I like it," or they listen to something and they go, "I don't like it." But this
like
is
Dick
one
Clark.
Of those.
God rest his soul. Dick Clark said, "Can you dance to it?" And,
right.
Yeah, wish he was here because we could get on American Bandstand with it.
Right. But it's just a marvelous, marvelous song. Okay, well, let's get on to the all-important stuff. This is where we do the shameless commercialization of the San Francisco Music Club. When is the CD going to be available, and where will people be able to get it?
Lauren?
All right, May 5th is the official kickoff CD release party gig show of ours in our hometown area of San Francisco in Mill Valley at the legendary, newly reopened and renovated the Sweetwater Music Hall, a very classic 20-year-old, 25-year-old club that closed down at its original spot and got reopened through some people that I think Bob Weir helped put it together, which is really fantastic. He's local in Marin County there. And anyway, he and some other people that really took an interest in promoting live music in Marin County, which is really great because it's a great club that it's a great listening room and dance room too. So the sound's fabulous. So we're using that as our kickoff. We used to play there as the Edge, well, at the other club called Sweetwater. And this is sort of our homecoming. So this is a kickoff, national release May 5th, but with our independent company, we're working with IBC. They're marketing with us, and I guess May 25th, it's online, iTunes, Amazon. It's going to be all out there on the 25th.
You can go to our website as well.
Website,
yeah, where's the website?
SanFranciscoMusicClub.com.
We're also
Facebook, so we're looking and we're signing people up and poking and tagging and, you know, whistling and liking and all the tickling, you know, we're doing all those things.
it's important to remember is that San Francisco Music Club is in fact a band. You know, sometimes people say, "Oh, great, where is it? What's the address?" Well, the address is wherever we're playing that night. So you can be part of the club is the idea, I think, you know.
And of course,
I just want to say thanks to our publicist, Billy James, who is helping promote this and press all around the world, really. We're already sending stuff out to Greece, Arkansas. I think we just sent out 200 mail-outs through our company, IDC. You know, it's an independent show we're doing here with me and Jimmy in terms of we're kind of our own record company, but the way it is just in the
IDC stands for Independent Distribution Collective, which is a great company. Stefan Franz and Ben and all the crew there, we really thank them
Jerome.
For helping with this. Jerome, yeah, everybody.
And we got a guy, Michael Brandvold.
Mike Brandvold is our web guy, and he's doing a great job as well.
So we've been learning how to use the new technology, as everybody is, really. It's a new language, which has opened up, has changed a lot in the 25 years since we started in our, you know, where we still made albums and vinyl records and stuff before CDs. So it's cool. You kind of have to know all that stuff. Just like we're talking to you is part of what having a great publicist is connecting us together to get online, and because everybody's listening that way. A lot more people, it's a bigger market out there that you can communicate with than just expecting radio to play it just on its own, you know what I mean? Commercial radio, so this is great.
Well, okay, I do have a huge question for you. I'm a fan base of one. I have the tunes, I've listened to them, and obviously, just based on our conversation, you can tell I really like them. What sort of feedback are you getting from people that have listened to the album?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We're happy about San Francisco itself. We found a club that is called Biscuit and Blues, and the owner, Steven Soon, he's just called us and said he listened to it. He said, oh, I want you guys to play here. I think it's fabulous. We already have two shows set up there in July 21st. And that's fabulous because he was just telling us the other day, he said, it sounds fresh and exciting. He said, I'd love to have that your band in there. And we were like, wow, that's cool. So we're getting some good feedback, and yourself included. So we're picking up on some good things. We really are. It's good.
I want to play one more track. I know that time is, or at least on-air time is limited, but I do want to point out to people that are listening, we record everything. Yeah, my name is Simon Richard Nixon Barrett. all of this is being recorded, and even if we do lose our live listeners, the recording will be published. Anyway, what I'd like to do is play one last track, Revolutionary Man. Any objections, guys?
No, I think we think that you might be interested to know, just serendipitously, whatever that word is, serendipitously. We wrote this song about Bob Marley, and it was a little more obscure when we wrote it a few years back. And we rewrote it as our San Francisco Music Club came together, and we thought, yeah, let's do it and really talk about it, a little bit more about being a tribute to Bob Marley. And we thought about his movies coming out tomorrow, so we thought, wow, you should play that fact too, because it goes along with the celebrating the life of Bob Marley and the great music.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's play it and let's talk about it on the back end.
Okay.
Cause you came from the bad side of town. Call you a rebel cause they know where you can be found. In the late night shuffle down on Market Street, back in the alley where the rude boys meet. Revolutionary man. Revolutionary man.
Not pigeonhole yourself. I don't want to be in a box, and that's part of
why San Francisco Music Club, I think, appealed to both of us to be wide open, you know, with our flavors and go lots of like very global, you know.
You mentioned slide guitar, and I've got to admit that I am sat here chuckling to myself. I had an interview last week with a musician, a well-known musician, and he was telling me about his early life, and his parents were musical, and, you know, friends would come over and play at home, and we're talking in the 40s and 50s, so yeah, another guy that isn't 25 anymore. And he told a story about a gentleman that had had just a little bit too much wine and took the empty wine bottle, snapped the neck off, put it on his finger, and used it as a slide.
Mm-hmm. You got to do it sometimes.
That's where it started.
You just pick up a knife. You'd use a metal, a steel knife or something smooth.
Or a file.
Yeah, this is back to caveman. This is how you started. When you lit a fire, you rub two sticks together. You can make a sound out of anything. And slide is a very cool thing because it is taking it could be wooden too. The whole concept of slide is a different attack on the guitar. It's a swooping sound. It's not plucked. It's slid. So it's a whole other world. It's great.
It also emulates the human voice in many ways.
Oh, indeed. And I am looking at the time, and I'm in my other ear. The automated producer is whining. Okay, it's time.
Well, Simon, we would like to make sure we stay in touch with you, I guess, through blog radio. Is that the way to drop you a line or something? Keep in touch?
Oh, I'm. You can get in touch with me through Jimmy, or I'm pretty certain I might have one of your email addresses, who knows. But I would like to keep in touch.
We'd love to get a quote from you that we could add to our promotion of the record. That what you think about perfection, and just any take you want to put down about us. You seem to have some good words that would be nice. It look good written down, I think.
Oh, I would be delighted to do that.
You remind me of a British fellow that I recorded an album with. His name is Michael Pinder, and you sound a lot like him. He was in the Moody Blues, and he and I did an album together, and you sound a lot like him. So there
well,
you go,
the voice
of God.
At least you're not accusing me of being the guy that produced Rich and Famous.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
Champagne Wishes and Gold Platinum Records for the San Francisco Music Club. Look at them now.
Let's talk again soon. Jimmy Dillon and Lauren Rowan have been my guests this afternoon, and I'm very pleased that San Francisco is a fairly long walk from where I am.
Somebody told me recently that San Francisco was their favorite European city. I love it. Come and see us.
I feel relatively safe, at least for the time being.
Come to our show, May 5th, Sweetwater, Mill Valley. Everybody
okay.
out there.
I will try and make it. Till
we
next
appreciate
time.
Your time, Simon. Thanks for the interview.
Thanks, Simon. Cheers.
It's been a pleasure. Till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy and safe day. Till next time, goodbye.